Blue Rodeo, Tara has released multiple incredible albums. Tonight, we're going to play a repertoire of songs from all of her albums and talk all things music. So welcome to the show, Tara. I'm super excited to talk to you tonight.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, why don't we start off the show? I'd like to play your latest release. It's a song called Sleepy Head. It was released in February of this year. And we'll play that and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Okay.
My sweet, sweet heart, get yourself out of bed and get downstairs, you little sleepy head. Brush your teeth and don't forget that hair. Nobody's gonna see you, think that I don't care. I can't do this all alone. Oh, but somebody's gotta stay home. And I would do it all over again for you, my precious little sleepy head. Small and your heart so wide. If I ever lost track of you, I think I'd die. You learn to walk before you learn to crawl. And now I catch you drawing pictures on the kitchen wall. Somebody's gotta stay home, and I would do it all over again for you, my precious little sleepy head. You were in the backseat crying, you'd never be more tired. But if it puts you to sleep, I'll drive 1,000 miles. And I don't have any lessons planned. But if the point is to love you, then I know I can. I can't do this all alone. Oh, but somebody's gotta stay home. Precious little sleepy head. I can't do this all alone. Oh, but somebody's gotta stay home. And I'll do it all over again for you, my precious little sleepy head. Because you'll always be my precious little sleepy head.
That was Sleepy Head by Tara Lightfoot. Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. If you'd like to hear Tara's music, you can find her at taralightfoot.com. And that's Tara, T-E-R-R-A, Lightfoot. Or you can find her on Instagram.com/Tara Lightfoot and all the wonderful music platforms. So Tara, that's such a beautiful song. It actually brought tears to my eyes the first time I heard it. And so tell me a little bit about like what that song was about, what you wrote that song about.
Yeah, that was like a really early pandemic song. And obviously I'm not a parent, but I was like talking to friends who were parenting at the beginning of the pandemic, and it looked so rough and it sounded so rough. And as a non-parent, I was like, how can I contribute? How can I help my friends and my family?
Yeah.
So I wanted to just write a song like that captures the beauty of raising a kid and also the beauty of like being a kid. So the third verse is all about one of my first memories, which is my mom driving me around in her red Cavalier so that I would fall asleep.
That's awesome. And actually, yeah. So I also read that you hosted actually the 2021 YWCA Women of Distinction Awards that actually kind of shone a light on all the workers that were helping out during the pandemic. And so had you written that song before you did that, or did that kind of come out after that experience for you?
Yeah, it was before that, but I think it, I think definitely, like, I mean, when you add working to mothering, it's like, whoa, women have a lot on their plates.
Exactly. And I actually work at Boys and Girls Clubs. And so we've got one in Hamilton where you're from, and just, they were like some of the support systems for the frontline workers. So it's just amazing what the resilience of all the workers, and also all the kids too. Right. So.
Oh, totally. I was going to say, my mom, for the first 3 years of my life, she was raising me as a single mom. So it was kind of like,
wow.
It was kind of hectic. Right. So that's what my memory was, is her doing the best that she could, you know, and that's what I think everybody's doing and continues to do.
Yeah, exactly. I read that James McKenty, he was on my show a couple months ago, he actually recorded that song in your living room with you.
He did. Yeah, it was the first recording. I think it was the first one released from the living room here at my new house. Like, I moved in the pandemic out to the country, and so I had James come over, because that's what he does, right? He just like brings his mobile recording studio to people's houses and sets up. So it was so nice. I was basically looking at the same view I'm looking at now, which is a beautiful meadow and a marsh and birds everywhere. And
That's gorgeous. And do the birds make it onto some of your recordings now then?
Totally. I think actually there's another one that's another single that James also recorded in my living room. It'll be coming out later this summer, but that one, we got a loon call, which
that's amazing.
Very special. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. And yeah. I read that Jimmy Bosco as well played on that. And you just recently opened for Blue Rodeo up in your area. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I played the Barry show with them. Mm-hmm. And Bosco actually, because he just opened a studio in, I guess, is it Port Hope or Coburg? I can never remember.
Yeah, it's like Gana. I can't remember. It's near Port Hope. Yeah.
Ganaraska.
Ganaraska. Yeah.
That's the one. But so Jimmy actually recorded a bunch of demos for the band and I in the fall. It was super, super fun. We went and had a sleepover. Like, everybody actually slept at the studio, which never happens anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once you get on the road, it's like people want to go, you know, stay somewhere comfortable or stay in a hotel, and everybody was game. So we just like hung out and actually like I slept in the guitar amp room. It was so much fun.
That's
and
awesome.
Jimmy's awesome. Yeah.
And speaking of guitar, so Terry, you've got, Gibson SG that you've named. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about her lineage and how you came to meet her.
Yeah, Veronica, she's definitely my baby. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, so I got her when I was, I think, 17, from a guy who just recently started dating my cousin. So now he's just like, hey, you've had that guitar for like 15 years. I'd love to get it back. Yeah, I'm like, no. so that's been with me forever, and it's like an extension of my body for sure. So that's like definitely my most comfortable guitar. But then my Aunt Teresa, who taught me to play when I was like 12, she gave me a couple guitar lessons. She's a gigger, so she gigged across Legion. She actually played with Norma Gale, who I wrote a song about. She in the 70s she like toured with an all-girl country band and would play like 6 nights a week.
Holy
all
cow.
Over. So cool, right?
And then you also, I saw a photo, you play one of your dad's guitars as well, like a 52 Gibson, is that correct?
Yeah, yes. So this is what's happened in the past 2 years. My aunt gave me a 73 Telecaster.
Oh, wow.
Which, and basically what I needed to do with that and with the 58 Gibson that my dad gave me, I needed to take him out on the road. That was the only way. Because Veronica has such a hold over me, like, I needed to like travel without her and be like, "Okay, hey, you stay home. I'm going out. I'm going to have fun," you know. And but now I'm so in love. Like, I took the one that my dad gave to me, the 58 ES 125. I took that out on the road with Matt Anderson for a month. That's the only thing I brought. Boy, did I ever learn a lot and bond with that guitar. And it was so, so beautiful. Like, and so,
and did it make you play, like, did you play the songs differently, like with a different form? Like, did it make you kind of like hold the guitar and kind of pull out notes in a different way?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. The other thing about it is it's like a hollow body. So I had to, I had more to play with. And I think after, you know, making several albums and like touring a lot, sometimes we get in these very comfortable spaces, you know, it's like sitting in the comfiest spot in your house, wherever that is for you. It's like, you know, it feels right and normal. But then when you try somewhere different, maybe you get like, yeah, it just, it brought so much new energy. And I also started writing a ton. So now I'm like, yeah, I'm well, oh, sorry, I hit my wind chime. Sorry.
I love it. Well, speaking of writing a ton, so let's play a song off of your latest album. It's called Consider the Speed. And I'd love to play a song called I Love You So. It's such a beautiful song. So we'll play that and we'll come back and we'll chat.
You had young blood heating up. You traveled hard and you played rough. Did you find where you belong? In the greatest chord of your favorite song. You were helpless, kneeling with the diamond stone. I was selfish, happy on my own. Song to you each morning, each night, each afternoon. You are selfless, walking through the violet light. I am helpless, caught inside your. Selfish, happy on my own.
Love You So by Tara Lightfoot, and Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield, and you can find her music at Tara, T-E-R-R-A, lightfoot.com, and on all the streaming music platforms, but preferably Bandcamp, Tara, TRRA-Lightfoot.bandcamp.com. So I like when people pay for their music. And so, so Tara, this is a pretty fascinating story. So you recorded this album down at Royal Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. You played with just these incredible people. So I'm going to tell the listeners some info. So your producer was a Grammy award-winning producer, legendary, called Jay Newland, who's worked with everyone from Paul Simon to Stevie Wonder, Dolly Parton, Betty Guy. Behind your engineer was a gentleman named Lawrence Boom Mitchell. And then you had session players like, you know, people that have played with, you know, B.B. King and Isaac Hayes and all of that. So tell me how you landed there. And also tell, there's a, kind of want to dive into, like, did you not write all the songs in a very condensed period of time, like right before you recorded it?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. I mean, so it was kind of heck, because I always seem to wait like 3 years between records, and then it's like a mad rush.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, you know, it's like I waited 3 years, but now I need to record like right away. But I had been talking to Jay, the producer, and he was talking about going to New York and using session guys there. And I was like, okay, I'm into that. Like, that's cool. But I wasn't really feeling it, but I was like open to it. And then he made the suggestion like 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks before we went in. And he said, do you want to go to Memphis? And do you want to go to Royal Studios? And I was like, yes. Cause I had been there on tour, like stopped in for a studio tour. My friend John Box, who's dearly departed, he hooked me up with Boo, who's the engineer, and his dad owned the studio and recorded Al Green, like every wicked record out of Memphis they made there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also Sun Studio, but remains to be seen in Arden. Oh my God. I'm just like going through all the Memphis studios, of course.
Right. That's,
then, so those guys like Steve Potts and Lester Snell, like Lester played on a ton of stuff, but he's an insane keyboard player. So once, basically I shook hands with those guys on day one and we just did 4 songs a day.
Wow.
And that was just how it went. And Boont and Boo's mom cooked for us on one of the nights, which was like the best thing ever. And it was just like, yeah, it was a proper, Memphis hang. And I felt, you know, very lucky to be able to play with those guys. Like it was kind of like joining their band for 4 days, you know what I mean? They play together on sessions all the time. They're all Memphis session guys. So to them, it was like, yeah, whatever, this girl from Canada. But for me, it was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
That's amazing. Well, let's listen to another song off that album. Let's listen to a song called One High Note, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Guiding light, no path to take. There's no honesty in rock and roll. All lovers, leaders, bought and sold. Oh, flash flooding, rain is coming. Done.
That was One High Note by Tara Lightfoot, and off her album called Consider the Speed, and you can find that online. And we're just talking about her experiences down in Memphis recording there. And did you get back to Memphis on this tour, or were you more in the upper part of the States?
Yeah, we didn't get down there. We didn't go to Tennessee at all. But I wish that we had. We actually visited Maine for the first time. I played several gigs in Maine. It was so fun. It was like very different from Tennessee, that's for sure. On the ocean. I guess there's like 2,000 miles of coastline on Maine.
That's like, amazing.
Wow.
So you've got a lot coming up. So like you just did a big stint, like you were gone for all of May. You're heading over to England shortly. And then you've got a whole bunch of shows lined up for the fall. Summer and fall, you're going to Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, PI, Nova Scotia. So after having that break during COVID, do you feel a bit of a resurgence now, and has it renewed your love of touring, or have you always had that?
I think I've definitely always had a love of touring. I will say that I'm stoked to get out on the road, and I think the boys feel the same. Both Eli and I, my bass player, he moved up to a country property, and so did I during the pandemic. So it's like very different to leave home now. Right. Whereas before it was like you get an Uber or whatever. Now it's like we're both like driving 3 hours to Pearson to fly, or like, you know, it's right. Like it's a much different operation now.
Yeah.
But so I think it in some ways it's better for us because we appreciate it more than, you know, just hopping in a van or whatever. It's like
right. And
you
get that real break when you're back because you're not kind of in that same zone of
yeah,
you know, the bars and the city and all of that.
It's so different.
So Terry, you were actually in 2017, you were honored by the Canadian Independent Music Association for being like the first female to receive this award. And it's like a road. I don't know what the official name is. You in 1 year, in a 12-month period, you sold over 25,000 concert seats. And I can't even imagine how many miles but it says that you've clocked millions of miles. are you always going to a different place on the tour, or do you have your kind of favorites now in your where you travel?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was 1 year there where we went to like Japan and Australia and then back to Australia. It was like really hectic, that New Mistakes tour that we did, the right. record before this one. And we also did the States, like we did the entire run of the States for the first time in 2017. So it was like, it was big time. And now, of course, like, yeah, I'm into it all. I'd love to go. I can't wait, actually. I'm like to go back to the UK because I had gone over several times pre-pandemic. So I'm like stoked to get back there. I really want to go to Scandinavia.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I know the sheepdoggy dogs are over there having a good time right now.
I know, I've seen like Jimmy's post of all his beer. Well, speaking of a New Mistake, so that was the album you released in October 2017. And it was longlisted for the Polaris Music Prize, nominated for a Juno Award for Best Adult Alternative Album. And you also earned a SoCan Number One Song Award. So why don't we listen to Pinball King off that album, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Sweet.
In our nation's capital, you took me out and we played pinball games on shiny old machines. You had your quarters rolled, the high score bells just kept on ringing, 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 ringing. I could feel the heat as we stepped out to the street.
That was Pinball King by Tara Lightfoot, and Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield. And Tara, we were talking before we heard that song about that tour that you did, or the touring you did around that, and you did a really cool curation for that album, and our mutual friend Anna Ruddick was on that, and it was called The Longest Roadshow, and Anna had just had a brand new baby, and can you tell us, there was something very unique about it, and it was in that it was an all-female crew and band, and what was that experience like for you?
That was a TSN turning point for me. It was like, it was so cool. So we had Anna come, and Lenny, her baby, and her mom came to be tour nanny, which was awesome. So it was like three generations of people in the van, and it was also rad because I kind of had this idea. I was like, okay, we should go out there, no dudes, and see what happens and not talk about it in the media and make it, because what I wanted to do was normalize an all woman bill so that we don't have to say all women.
Right.
Right. Cause I'm so used to seeing that. It's like, it's an all girl band. It's an all girl, you know, and it's just like, okay, we're done with that. So that's what I was trying to do. And it's actually some of my favorite musical memories. I remember Shakura Saida, her performance introduced a Neil Young song, and it was like, everybody was vibing. Begonia was on the tour, Lindy Ortega. And we all just like had a wicked time and realized the strange things that happen when you're the only woman on the road.
Right.
And when there's a group of you, those things can't happen. For example, one night, none of us came to load the van because we were not used to having to do that. Yeah, it was very funny.
I love it.
And then after that, but as soon as, you know, our TM, Keeks, was such a good sport. She was like, hey, like, not, guys, like, you're leaving me hanging. And after that, then it was amazing. Like, Lindy Ortega is like carrying t-shirts. Like, you know what I mean? It was like no egos, like very, very beautiful experience. And like, it was like the best summer camp I've ever been to.
That's awesome. Well, let's listen to another song off that album that you toured on that tour. Let's listen to Stars Over Dakota.
At the growing twilight flame.
That was Stars Over Dakota by Tara Lightfoot. And Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So Tara, you've had, we were speaking about before the song about the all-female, you know, touring review that you did. And, but I'm going to switch to conversation about a legendary gentleman that you opened for, Willie Nelson. Tell me a little bit what that experience was like for you.
Oh my God. It was, I still remember that as like the greatest day ever. I think, yeah, it was his Outlaw Music Festival. And it was like the most, it was possibly the most stressful thing to realize that you were going to play with him 6 months before that. Like I got booked for it like months and months and months before. So the whole summer was like, fuck. just so nervous. And it ended up being amazing. Like such a good experience. And Tedeschi Trucks played, and like we made good buds with those guys. Like Susan lent me her tuner pedal, and like, you know, Derek Trucks was holding my guitar. It was so cool. It was beyond. And then Willie played, and at the very end of the show, I think the coolest experience was like he's walked off stage, whatever, and I was loading something into the van, like near the loading bay or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was walking off, but it was all roadies and me and like red lipstick and a dress or whatever. And so he like looked and waved because I was the only woman bright colored thing. Like, so he did his like classic Willie Nelson, like, what's up?
I love
amongst,
it.
Amongst all the IOTSI dudes.
Right. And then did he have his legendary like tour bus with him?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We did. Yeah. It was That's pretty awesome. Hectic too, because everybody who works for Willie looks a lot like Willie.
Yeah.
So the whole time we were backstage, we're like, there he is. Oh, yeah. Wow, that's not him.
And
there he is. Oh,
oh man. And so you've had like, you've got had so many cool different kind of like, I want to touch on some of your cool performance experiences as well as some of your songwriting experiences. And I read about this, this really neat thing that you did, and it was called like a podcast. It was a song confessional. Can you tell me a little bit about this? It was yourself and a woman named Jane Ellen Bryant. What that process was like. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I went to a song camp. I think it was through Six Shooters Publishing, but they brought me and Luke Doucette and Tom Darcy and a couple other writer people down to Austin. And we actually were working at the studio where Willie, I think he owns it or something, or his family owns it, but a very cool studio. And it was just like a song camp. So I got set up with Jane and this dude, Walker Lukens, who runs the podcast Song Confessional. And he was like, hey, do you want to write from one of our stories? It ended up being like the heaviest story of all time.
Right.
So he like played us this minute long recording of this girl talking about something. It was so hectic.
And so people submit like kind of anonymous stories, and then like you're kind of given that audio. And then how long do you have to kind of craft the song?
I think we did it in 3 or 4 hours recorded.
Wow.
We just recorded it live one mic.
Wow.
Which was another one of those experiences, like the guitar, like, where it pushes you outside your boundaries that you didn't know you had. You're like, oh, this is super fun and unexpected. And Jane's amazing. Like, she's such a cool person. I've seen her since. She actually was over in the UK last time I was there, which was a ripper.
I love it. Yeah. And are you someone, Tara, so when you, like, you have, it sounds like you have the ability to craft songs, like, very instantly. When you're done that, are you done? Do you come back? Do you fiddle? Like, what's your, or does it vary by song? Or are you someone who's kind of like creative outburst and then like, that's it, that's locked and loaded? Or do you come back and revisit the songs until you feel they're done? Yeah.
I think usually I am kind of a lightning writer, but then I'll come back and check it out again. Like, I think for me, I've discovered my process is about like, not being kind of, how do I explain it? Like when I'm falling asleep, that's when I'm going to write the best thing,
really?
Which is so annoying. So I have to get out of bed. My poor fiance, like it's actually, I'm like, oh God, got another song idea. So I have to like go out of the bedroom,
yeah,
like write it down, do a voice memo, and then, you know, eventually fall asleep. But it kind of keeps me going for, you know, 24 hours or something. And usually they end up coming out pretty fully formed.
Yeah. With that one that you were just referring to, where it was some, do you find that the stories that you're, or the songs that you're writing, are they a combination of kind of, are they your all personal experiences, or are they kind of interpreting other stories, or is it a mix of both?
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that seem to happen. I know everybody has like wild experiences or whatever. Like there are certain things that seem to happen to me that are like, oh, that's a song. Like, and I know that's right. A lot of songwriters, right? Like they can, you know, like Steve Poltz is a great example. He can make like something out of, you're like, what, how did you write a song about that? But, but for me, I'm finding, especially after writing a couple records, it's like, now every day I'm on the lookout, you know, if something happens or if I see something, I remember it. Like it's, because it's all about imagery, you know, like those are my favorite songs, are the ones with beautiful images. And so that's what I'm trying to recall.
Yeah. And honestly, Tara, like it's so interesting to me listening to your music, because I'm known, like just in my circle of friends, like I don't listen to lyrics. Like it's almost like this like mental like way that I save music so it can, I can listen to it over and over and over. And so it, like I purposely like kind of block it out, and your lyrics, they break through for me. Like I notice them, and I don't know, like it's such a unique thing. And that's why I just have so really enjoy listening to your music, because I'm just like, oh, I can do this. You know, like I'm like this gets through. And but you just have like, you have such a beautiful way of phrasing things. It's like it's really, it's like poetry, and I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you, Mary.
And so let's listen to another song of yours. Maybe let's listen to a song called Two Hearts, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Ooh, good one.
He was the one, my tried and true lover. He held me so I'm not afraid to die.
Two Hearts by Tara Lightfoot. Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield, and you can find her music online at taralightfoot.com, instagram.com/taralightfoot, tara-lightfoot.bandcamp.com. Another really cool thing, Tara, that I saw you took part in. So you, we're going to play a song coming up next off of your album, Every Time My Mind Runs Wild. And you teamed up with the National Academy Orchestra of Canada to showcase the song. So take me through kind of how that came to be and what that process was like collaborating with an orchestra.
Yeah, that happened because I'm from Hamilton. So Boris Brott, who is, again, dearly departed, miss him. He just passed away this year. But it's kind of like his training orchestra, the National Academy. So I went over to his place and he was like, you should get charts for your music. It's rock music. It'll be cool. Like, it's like a whole thing. Classical is kind of like rock, or it should be. Yeah. And he kind of gave me this spiel. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really fun. And so he hooked me up with somebody who's now a dear, dear friend of mine. Like, basically, he wrote the charts. Like, so he made it so the violinist could read the sheet music to my song. So nobody had to explain it, right? Yeah. And walking into that rehearsal, it was like, I feel like a lot of people have this experience when they're music is back to them by an orchestra. It's like you just cry. Like, I just cried, you know. It was just so heavy. And so that was really beautiful. The same, I actually got to do a show recently where Tom Wilson played with an orchestra in Hamilton, and I don't know if he cried, but it was very beautiful.
Tomorrow I'm actually going to New York City and I'm going to see the Philharmonic in Central Park. And ooh. I'm so excited. It's like one of the free ones, but there's just something about the like, string music. It's just so, yeah. And so it's just so beautiful. And so then how did you, when you played with them, did they kind of keep up with you? Did you modify your songs to match them, or did it meld perfectly?
Yeah, I think it melded in a really good way. The conductor, Boris, was always there, or there was a conductor. And so it was kind of the conductor's job. In a way, we had to listen to them, which was very interesting for a rock band, right? You're like, hey, guys, like, watch that guy over there. And like,
awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it was neat. I love doing it. I would do it again in a second. But I find, too, my immediate thought whenever I get in the room with violins, I'm like, I don't want to play. I just want to sing. That's it. I don't want to hear any other instrument because they're so beautiful.
And I've been just like obsessed with cello lately. Like I have found this guy on Twitter and he goes out on his, he's an Irish guy and he lives in just this gorgeous like scenery. And he goes out every day and he plays a different song on his cello with like beautiful fields behind him. And it's just the most beautiful thing.
Peaceful. So,
and do you know any, like, do you play anything besides guitar? Do you play keys? Do you play drums? Do you play any strings? Or are you a guitar girl at heart? Yeah.
It's funny because I got a cello from a friend like 3 years ago, but I can't get past the learning stage because it's so
Tara,
different.
Please do it for me.
I can play keys though.
Cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So we have a piano here. Yeah.
It's cool that you have that, even just that option to explore. I love that. So let's listen to your song, No Hurry, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. And now I'm sorry.
That was No Hurry by Tara Lightfoot. Tara joins me tonight on Dangerfield, and it's off her album, Every Time My Mind Runs Wild. So Tara, we're getting close to coming up on time, but I wanted to talk because there's two gorgeous covers that I heard you play, very different. So one is called, one's a Joni Mitchell cover that you did. And so you were one of three artists that was selected to cover a Joni Mitchell song for her 50th anniversary of Blue. Did you get to pick the song off the album?
Yeah. And that was really special. I love A Case of You. So it was amazing. And the other thing is my fiance recorded that our living room for me. So that was actually, now I'm remembering, the very first song that we recorded in this house that was released onto the airwaves. So it was so special. And like, I love Joni and I love that record. And
so do you think
it was fun too, to like, to sit in that space and like allow myself creatively to go where the rock band doesn't go, you know?
So the next one I wanted to talk about is, so you did, there was a Juno, it was called the Juno 365 session. And I just love this cover that you did. So it was a Glass Tiger cover of Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone. And you just put the coolest spin on it. So tell me, were you given a list of songs that you selected from, or what was that like?
Yeah, it was like songs. I'm trying to think how far back it went. It probably went back to like 1975 or something. And they were like, go ahead and select any song. It was one song per year.
Wow.
So I was like, that would be kind of sick. And it was from the year I was born, 1986. So I was into it.
That's amazing. Well, let's play that. And then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Okay.
Away, oh, 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 love thinks it's here to stay. Oh, 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 there's still so much for me to do, and I can't stop loving you. Oh, can this be true? Broken hearts and
Tara Lightfoot and her band covering Glass Tigers, Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone. It's the coolest version of it I've ever heard. And I bet you kind of like brought that song to a lot of different people that might not have heard it before. Like, I think that's the beauty of covers. Is there another cover? Like, do you have kind of a repertoire of your favorite covers? Do you do a lot of covers on tour?
This is a great question because I have one coming out on July 8th that I recorded in Memphis with those like same session dudes we've been talking about. It's my favorite Lead Belly song of all time. And at the end of the session, it was the last song that we played and we only did one take. And yeah, it was a symbol.